and welcome. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, and we are the radio for the new millennium, at least Heart of Mind is. I'm Catherine Davis, your host, and today I'm joined by Katrina Taylor for a conversation with Priscilla Amadou about purposeful living and the importance of discovering what really matters in life. My guest, Katrina Taylor, is a mother, writer, an empathic reminder, an apt pupil of the cosmos, and a modern-day mystic. Katrina offers private card readings and is a life coach, animal communicator, and professional pet groomer. Priscilla Amadou is a multidisciplined healing artist, educator, community organizer, and founder of Tehuti Ma'at, a community development organization with a model of cooperative business. And I just want to say hello and welcome both to you, Katrina and Priscilla.
Greetings.
Hello, greetings. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're very welcome. And I'm really excited to hear about the work that you're doing. Priscilla, I've had a chance to see a few of your videos and a look at your website, which is in progress, but it really is very exciting in what it tells about what it is that you're creating in the world. I thought it would be good to start with Katrina, however, because she was also very excited about sharing with you on today's program. So, Katrina, why don't you start?
Yes, Catherine, thank you. First of all, let me say I am so thankful for this opportunity to be here and, you know, share this platform with such a beautiful, luminous soul as yourself. And, you know, it gives me the chance to open up the space for others, these inspirational voices who resonate real leading edge kind of solutions for the times. And, you know, some folks might not otherwise be as heard, whose voices really need to be heard. And it was sometime last year, mid-year, well, I think it might have even been you, Catherine, who sent me that initial video interview with Priscilla Amadou. And I, for the life of me, I have not been able to locate that initial video. However, the exchange, I remember, was so powerfully moving, enough so that I reached out to Priscilla post-haste. And that was only one video. When I go to your channel, Priscilla, it's just this beautiful mix of conscious creation that truly goes beyond any simple description. I mean, you have spirit sisters, you have issues on cultural and social awareness, global farming, health and body, the Crown Mag, you have your book club, and the list, you know, it goes on and on. I'm going to stop because I know for a fact that you will do a much better job sharing the world of Insica. And I thank you so much and welcome to the show, Priscilla Amadou.
Thanks. I am so thrilled about being on here because it's just a genuine appreciation for the universe, you know, and creation literally aligning almost instantaneously, like through the thought of wanting to be broadcasted and really feeling the need to access more people, but in a way where it's a little more protected. I think a lot of people who do community work can attest to, you know, really taking on a lot of energy. And a lot of times it's really adverse energy because we're living such traumatic lives. And, you know, by virtue of literally just working with people and connecting with people on an intimate level, particularly on a healing level, you attract and take on a lot of their pain and their energy. And I've been thinking a lot about broadcasts and about just accessing more people and the videos that you mentioned. I'm so glad that you appreciate them so much because that's something that I've been thinking and putting a lot of my energy into figuring out how to be more accessible virtually and protect my energy more so in the physical, even though I love to connect with people in real time. So I'm just really thankful that as soon as I had that thought, I had the call from you, because you heard the that call that I actually did. I will make sure to send it over to you. And the sister that runs that radio show, she also features some amazing women that I was introduced to from her platform, which I would like to make sure that I can mention by the time we get through our discussion. So I'll make sure to look that up while we're speaking. But yeah, it's been an incredible journey as far as getting to this point. You know, I wasn't always, I guess, conscious is what we're calling it these days. I really just wasn't aware of the extent of the problems that we're facing globally. I was not aware of myself. I was not aware of so many things, I would say maybe about 7 years ago. And it really was a trip back to my, or our motherland, I would say, but particularly the islands off the west coast of Africa, known as Cabo Verde, where my family is from. And both of my parents were born, and all of my four mothers and fathers were born on this particular island called Fugu, which is a volcanic island. And my life partner, my king, my mate, Preston, and I, we took a trip out there. We bought a one-way ticket, and I thought we'd stay there maybe for a few months, and we ended up living there for about a year. And that trip changed my life. It transformed my life on every single level, from the awareness of, like, the beauty of Africa, the depravity, right in the same, you know, pocket, just seeing the reality of what we're experiencing and making the connection that it's not just here in Brooklyn, it's not just where I grew up in Boston, it's not just the places that I've visited in this country, it's also, you know, it stems a lot deeper. And being away from, you know, the rat race and the chaos of the city was the first time that I was really able to question everything and do legitimate research for myself and figure out what are all the things that I'm not able to think about, to concentrate on, to heal, because I'm constantly, you know, working and stressing, and everything is about, you know, money and needing to, you know, it's just so much stress that we literally don't even realize how much we're missing out on, because the life that we're living, that we think we're living, is so controlled. And that's pretty much where it all started. And from there, I just, with the awareness that I gained, I could not fathom that people had known a lot of this information, that people had been so-called conscious for all this time. And I just felt like, well, why isn't anyone doing this? And why isn't anyone doing that? And all of the thoughts that came to me as far as, you know, growing food, as far as, you know, political activism. You know, I've really dabbled in so many different things. You know, I've been out there with the Black Lives Matter. I realized that was a little too reactionary and also a controlled narrative. So through my political sophistication throughout the years of just, like, really diving into more of a geopolitical awareness as opposed to just focusing on local or national issues, because I do strongly feel like we're in the era of globalization, and really, even though everything is trying to distract us into these, like, false narratives of, you know, nationalistic issues when it comes to bipartisan, or so-called bipartisan politics, really politics is far beyond government. You know, to me, politics is really everything that we deal with that organizes our social order and our society. And we just seem to be focused on the system that we're in right now, as opposed to having more people who are envisioning and working towards what it is that we need. Because I think everyone at this point is pretty clear that the system that we're in is broken and hopefully collapsing on its own so that we can really focus on creating the healing systems that we need so that we can progress and really heal ourselves.
That's absolutely true, and I really like what you're talking about. This is Catherine. One of the things that I realize as we're looking at the global system and sort of wishing it away, one of the things that it depends upon is feeding upon our own energy and resources and having us tied into those systems in order to survive. So it strikes me that what you're doing, Priscilla, is providing a holistic way of living life and producing and being in the world that would be independent of the globalist system, no matter what it chooses to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel that although, you know, I'm highly aware that economics and politics are all, you know, connected to the culture that we're experiencing, I feel very deeply, I would have to say I know that without healing on a fundamental level, particularly spiritually, we, no matter what efforts we make, no matter how strategic and intelligent they may be, that we'd be building on sand because we've suffered so much pain and we have a lot of intergenerational trauma. We have so much hereditary trauma and things that we've taken on. And particularly our lives right now, I think a lot of the things that we find to be normal or we've just made regular in our lives, they're not normal, and they're very traumatic. And too many of us are living with so much pain that we've buried so that we can just function and just move through the world, and we're not really living. So fundamentally, it has to start with that internal work. And I think that when we say things like spirituality, you know, it kind of gets this up in the air, like very ethereal sense that some people can't really seem to ground it and grasp it. And really what my focus is grounding and rooting, actually rooting spirituality, because it's really just about inside the internal world that we're experiencing. I do feel my purpose on this earth is not an activist, but it's something that we've coined through an organization that our network that I'm involved with called the Spiritual Warrior Society. And we use the term activator as opposed to activist because I do feel like we, some of us are called to activate other people into their own power. And we all have power within us and we all have a divine purpose within us. So really we have access to that through our inner world. And our focus right now, because of the system that we're in, or this construct, is really on everything that's external. You know, we're focused on everything around us, our environment, and all of these different things, just by means of just needing to survive within this construct, that it makes it very difficult for us to focus inside. So I just really tried to make those spaces for us to really explore that, whether that's through, you know, Tehuti Ma'at is the organization that I co-founded with my partner. And that came through a very organic growth process from just, like I said, when I became aware of so many things, we would have these conversations about things that we need. And I didn't want to have the conversation as if, you know, these were things that were impossible, even though so many people that, because I started off by going to a lot of different meetings, and because especially in New York City and Brooklyn, there's so many different organizations. You have organizations that focus on healing and spirituality. You have organizations that focus on food and nutrition and, or veganism and, you know, different aspects of health and holistic healing. You have networks of people who focus on politics and community issues around, you know, social and racial injustice. But I felt like, I feel like all of that is important. And one of the things that I would really love to accomplish is a unification of all of these efforts, because I find that in these different circles, you know, everyone feels like their solution is the right way and anything else doesn't matter. But we're bombarded with so many problems and we're being attacked on so many different levels that we need every single solution. And we actually need to be working together and encouraging each other. Even if I feel like growing food is the way, but someone else feels like writing and literary work is the way, how can we support each other and how can we, you know, aid each other's efforts? Because we all need all of these things, even if we don't, our personal work isn't going to focus on all of those things. But for us and for myself, I've tried to really embody the aspects that I feel are the most important. So our focus areas for Tuhuri Ma'at are healing, art, or creativity, and education. So all of our programs have to encompass these elements, and then within each of these compartments, we have specific programs. So for healing, we have an initiative called Organic Food for the People, and we've started that process through I was working with as a director for an organization called the Harriet Tubman Fannie Lou Hamer Women's Collective, which is an extension of the December 12th movement. They're based in Brooklyn at 456 Nostrand Avenue, a venue called Sister's Place, where they do some jazz sessions on Saturday evenings. But these are elders that have been doing political work in the community for over 30 years. And through my exposure to them and the opportunity that they gave me to lead the Harriet Tubman Fannie Lou Hamer Women's Collective, I was able to use their space to attract many women and focus on Black women in particular and our economic empowerment. And we had a lot of discussions in the community where different women would come in and we'd talk about, you know, what is it going to take for us to liberate ourselves? How do we do it on a more grounded level in terms of things that will help us right here, right now, starting things like Susu so that we can help each other with our business ventures or just different ways that we can produce things so that we could actually be economically viable, discussing economics in a different sense and changing our perspective on it from being focused on, you know, money and buying Black and just like some of the things that we kind of get boxed into, and really redefining economics to its full extent of, you know, food, clothing, shelter, and security, and how can we provide those things for ourselves as opposed to focusing on the money that we use to get those things. And there's a lot to be said about economics, but through that work in the community, one of the main concerns that the sisters in Bed-Stuy in particular we're concerned about is food. And that's our main means of survival is food. So we don't have access. We're in a food desert. We don't have access to, you know, affordable organics. And that's a huge factor for the women in the community. So through that, we came up with this initiative, Organic Food for the People, where ultimately the vision is to connect urban farms throughout Brooklyn initially and then throughout the nation. But first we started off by creating our own garden because our goal is to have a model to show. So that's what we've been working on for the last 3 years. We took over an abandoned garden in Crown Heights, and it's currently operating under the name of Tuhuri Ma'at Garden. Since we've taken it over, it's a garden that had been abandoned, but some elders had begun the garden about 30 years ago. So we went in and we cleaned up this entire garden for a whole year, and then we started growing food and doing our programming there. We developed a whole series of programs, which we call Raw Workshops, and they're all based on health, nutrition, food justice, just all of the things that someone would have to be aware of in order to actually value the land and the process of the growing of the food. So there are some very technical workshops where we teach the general basics of, you know, how to start your own garden, soil composition, starting seeds, to the food justice workshop where it's very political and we are talking about how we're being attacked, specifically being targeted with the food and the chemical warfare that's being ensued on us, and what we call food is actually poisoning us, why our health, the health in our community is so terrible, from diabetes to chronic heart disease and all of these things that are curable through diet, nutrition, holistic means, and we really just don't have access or information coming at the same level as other communities may have. And we also focus on the whole concept of a neighborhood versus a community and really the need to organize being a fundamental need for us because our neighborhoods are not functioning as communities. So through the from the last 3 years that we've been working on the garden, what we've been developing is actually a roadmap so that anyone anywhere can create their own garden. And once we connect with other urban gardens, our goal is really to have a network of black farmers, which one of our good friends who runs Black Dirt Farm in Maryland, her name is Aaliyah Frazier. She's an amazing farmer and healer. She has a network of black farmers across the country. And really, ultimately, we would really love to create a alternative food system and food network where we're able to connect black farmers to black people all across the country so that we can, you know, have something independent. Because I also feel like the whole concept of integration and with the 40th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King, a lot of people have been talking about 40th anniversary, a lot of people have been talking about his work, and the concept of integration is something that so many people haven't really explored and questioned, you know, has that aided our progress or not? And I feel like, you know, we're in a world of many different people. It's inevitable that we're going to interact with all different cultures, but I feel for the black population, particularly in this country, in America, integration really destroyed a lot of our institutions. And that's really an important thing as far as my work is concerned, is really how do we establish alternative institutions where we do feel safe? Because when it comes to healing, you know, there's a degree of isolation that is necessary. You know, I don't think that we can be around we can be in the same system that has done so much harm and so much injustice and caused so much pain and suffering to us and be able to heal. I do feel we need to isolate ourselves to a certain degree so that we are able to heal and recuperate and create a true community amongst each other, because we really need to heal our relationships with one another. So that's really where that vision comes from. It's not from, you know, it's a very strategic position.
I agree with you. I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think that this is a big piece of what is missing and why we haven't been able to, as a community, find our way. Because when you go back to the era of my grandparents, my great-grandparents, they had whole communities where there were doctors, there were lawyers, there were builders. Everything that was needed was within the community, and they were thriving. So I do think that we need to get that back. I totally get what you're saying.
Absolutely. Mm. And so through Organic Food for the People Project and the garden, from there, you know, so many things sparked. We ended up realizing that, you know, we do need to create an economy around the work that we're doing in order for it to be sustainable. And beyond it being sustainable, it being productive. Because I'm having some issues with that term, sustainability, now, because I don't think what we're trying to do is just sustain where we are and just continue. We're really trying to grow. And I don't really like that word being used the way it's being used right now. So I think that for us, it's really we're trying to develop a model where we can grow and we can go to scale. So we realized that we needed to have a market. And there's a wonderful farm that's led by a sister named Yannette Fleming, and it's in Bed-Stuy. It's called the Hattie Carthen Farm, and it's a huge farm. It takes up about a block. It's been there for over 20 years, and she runs a very, very successful market. She feeds hundreds of people through their farmers market program. They've extended and started an herbal farm. And I'm very inspired by her work, and she's been mentoring the project that we are working on as well. And so I know it's possible. It's beyond possible. So from the work that we've done and the things that we're growing in the garden, what we decided to do is launch a healing shop. So we started this shop, which we call Coins and Kauris, or Coins and Kauri Shells. Kind of an ode to just like the kauri shells being used for currency for so long, and just kind of bringing an ethical or moral standpoint back to the market, because, you know, we're in a capitalist system, and, you know, although I've gone through phases where I've completely rejected that, you know, I'm at a stage right now where I'm aware that while we're trying to create alternative systems, we are still functioning. We still have to function within the system that we're currently in. So even though, and I think that's somewhere that a lot of people who consider themselves to be activists kind of get stuck in that space. So I definitely want to speak to the fact that, you know, we have to be realistic about what it is that we're trying to do. What are our goals? We have to define them for ourselves, not just take on other models and other things that other people have created before us, because it's really a time where we need to innovate and create something for this space and time that we're occupying right now, but still building on everything that our ancestors have done and the work that has been laid out before us. We can't forget about that work, but we also have to learn from those mistakes. So I do encourage anyone who considers themselves to be an activist, an organizer of any form, a healer, to make sure to be realistic within the situation that we're in, because I find that the most difficulty that I've had throughout this process has been in rejecting a lot of the ideas that we're living in right now that I don't agree with. But, you know, we do need money to survive. We do, when we go to the grocery store, they want the green paper. We have to make sure that we're able to function and be viable within the system as it stands right now. So with Coins and Kauris, we started creating products from the herbs that we grew in the garden and, you know, different things, smoking blends, tea sets. We started selling different textiles that we had purchased from our trips throughout West Africa, what is called Bogolan Fini, which is also known as mud cloth, which is a raw woven fabric that is produced in Mali, and we started making head wraps with those, and different, just putting together all these handcrafted products and really creating a market so that we could actually participate within the market and be able to make money and bring in some revenue so that we could continue to grow. And that has made a huge difference and has kind of set us on a pace of, like, creating functional economies. And I really feel like for Black people right here, right now, we need more people focusing on creating economies around healing, whether that be healing centers, spas, alternative medicine, whatever ways that any of us who consider ourselves to be healers, I think that we need those healing opportunities to be functional businesses or cooperative businesses where other people are able to work and take ownership and be just as invested in the growth of these businesses, because that's what we need right now. And if what we need is healing, and what we also need is economic empowerment, then I think fusing the two is probably the most powerful stance that we could take right now. You know, it's not the only solution, but it is one of them. So I do think that people who are more business oriented and business minded do need to help those who are not, but are focused on, you know, spiritual healing and different forms of healing so that we're able to give our people what it is that we need. So that's where kind of our healing model has kind of expanded into. We also have a healing circle that we do. It was called Sacred Womb for a while. It was just focused on womb healing and feminine healing, particularly speaking towards Black women. And this came about through, you know, my healing process, as I said, you know, kind of going inside myself and realizing, you know, I've been through many traumatic experiences. For one, you know, my grandfather was murdered in front of me when I was 4 years old. And mm-hmm. that's something that I lived with for a really long time, and I didn't really process what that meant. You know, I kept telling myself that I didn't remember it, and that, you know, and I convinced myself of that, but that was really my coping mechanism, because at the age of 4 years old, I don't know how I would have been able to function thinking of witnessing that. Mm-hmm. So throughout the years, you know, anytime anyone would ask me about it, you know, if it ever came up, I would just say that I didn't remember, I was too young, and that wasn't true. I didn't realize that until I actually gave myself the time and the space to really think that through and really allow myself to remember what I saw. And, you know, for me, that was a complete transformational, and in many ways, you know, some people have helped me to see it as a rite of passage in my own life, that my life, you know, that just happened. Because, you know, nothing, I don't think anything happens for no reason. You know, I don't really believe in the concept of coincidence. I think everything has a divine purpose, even things that may seem so grotesque and evil, I do feel they have a purpose. And with my grandfather's murder, you know, when I allowed myself to remember what happened, I remember seeing my grandfather in front of a sawed-off shotgun with so much courage, where he literally, someone was trying to rob we had a convenience store, and someone was trying to rob the convenience store, and my grandfather wasn't having it. And I allowed myself to actually see what happened and to see that confrontation. And because I allowed myself to see it and to feel the pain again, I was able to acknowledge that that courage is within me, and that that happened to me at 4 years old. My grandfather's life was taken almost in a sense as a sacrifice for me to be able to serve my purpose now, because you have to have a tremendous amount of courage to speak, to say what needs to be said, to do what needs to be done, because it's such a threat to the status quo that regardless if people can see that now, or, you know, at the scale that we're at now, if that can be felt, but literally by virtue of just having the voice and the awareness and the passion and the drive, you know, it's dangerous. And I realized that when I kept asking that question, like, why isn't anyone doing this? Why isn't anyone doing that? A lot of us are scared. We are afraid. A lot of our leaders have been assassinated in front of us to instill that fear. A lot of the warmongering and a lot of the you know, terrorism and all of these different things. Like, there's so much fear around us, and so many of us are paralyzed by that fear. And my grandfather's murder for me and healing that aspect of my spirit allowed me to see that, you know, that courage is flowing through my veins, and that's what I'm here for, and I know that now. So that's one thing, one traumatic thing I experienced. I was also molested as a child, and that's something, sexual trauma, sexual abuse is something that we're not speaking about. Rape, all of these different things, is so rampant in our community, where I would say in a room, if you're in a room with a group of people, half of the people in that room were probably sexually abused. It's something that we're not able to talk about. Yeah. Things like abortion. Abortion is a huge huge industry, and Black women are fueling this industry, and there's a lot of healing that's necessary around that. You know, it's not even about the politics that they try to present to us, whether you have to be pro-choice or pro-life. You know, I think that that's not really what it's about. For me, it's really about the healing that's necessary, regardless of what side of the fence you want to be on. You know, the reality is you have thousands, hundreds of thousands of women that are going through this process, and that's it's very traumatic. You know, I've experienced it, and I know how traumatic it is, and there isn't any support around it. There is no, there isn't the healing groups and things that you would expect there to be. And I didn't realize that until I experienced these things, you know, until I started, when I finally acknowledged, you know, the fact that I was molested. You know, for years, I didn't even use that phrase. I didn't even think about it in that way because I didn't want to think about it at all. And once I started speaking about it and I started using my poetry and music to express what I went through and my healing process, so many people would come up to me and share things that they've never told anyone that have happened to them. And that's when I realized, whoa, this is happening to so many people. And why isn't this a conversation? Why isn't this, you know, it's so taboo to talk about abortion or any of these things when it comes to sexual abuse? So I feel like, you know, for me, it was a personal journey. And as I was going through my healing process and I realized so many others were experiencing the same thing, I knew that we needed to have space where we could talk about these things, where we could release a lot of the pain and, you know, create solutions and really share with each other the different healing tools and spiritual tools that we can use to help us. Even on a day-to-day basis, you know, it doesn't have to be an extremely traumatic experience. A lot of us experience a lot of trauma and pain through our families, our relationships with our parents. You know, there's so many things that come up in the healing circles. So that's something that I started to do in 2016, is just gather with different sisters, and we were doing it every single month, every full moon. And it's something that we will continue to do, but we expanded into also including the brothers in the circle, because that's something that kind of just came up organically, even though I do feel like, you know, many times we hold the space for women first, and we make sure that everyone knows at a certain time that the brothers will be welcome into the circle, so that if there's anything that, because a lot of our trauma is around men, so if there's anything that we do need to express, or if we don't feel comfortable allowing the men into the circle at a certain point, that that's clear. So everyone in the space feels, you know, safe. And
ultimately
I don't...
safe. Yeah, it also comes to mind that our men need the same processes for their own healing, because there is sexual abuse that men encounter, plus encounters with law enforcement and prisons and education. There's really so much that it could be easily seem overwhelming when you look at this as a person who is dedicated to healing and to bringing healing into the community. I'm wondering if you could also speak to people on an individual basis, because there's a way in which everyone has to take their own journey through this. So I would like for you to speak to the individual and in a way, give a little guidance to how they can begin this process for themselves. You know, linking up with you is a wonderful thing, but there are people far and wide who may never be able to do that.
Absolutely. I feel that the starting point has to be inside, always. So it's really not about finding a group that you can sit with. It's really about being able to sit with yourself, and that's really where we have to start. A lot of us You know, we keep ourselves busy, or we distract ourselves. Is a better way to put it. We distract ourselves with a lot of things that aren't really important. You know, for some people that might be the TV, for others it may be work. You know, for some it may be things that we think are very meaningful, but it still becomes a distraction when it's keeping us from our inner world and getting to know ourselves. So I would say to any individual person, you know, we've all experienced trauma. If you are walking this earth right now and you have not experienced trauma, I don't even know if that's possible. I really don't. So the thing is, really, we need to create our own worldview. And in order to do that, we have to know ourselves. And even though it's something that sounds so cliche, a lot of us cannot sit alone with ourselves. So I really encourage that first and foremost. Some people use terms like meditation, you know, even just thinking about it as just stillness. Because when you say something like meditation, people feel like it has to be a certain thing in a certain way, and they have to, no, you need to just do whatever it is that you need. It doesn't have to look like what the next person is doing. Figure out what it is that you need. You know, for some, it's writing. For others, it's just sit there quiet. You know, these phones, these devices are very, very, very distracting. Put aside the phone, put aside the device, the video games, whatever it is that is distracting you, and figure out what it is that you don't want to think about, and think about that thing. To me, it's as simple as that.
That's a good start. That's a very good start. And also, I want you to explain how people can connect with you and some of the things that you're doing. Because when you were talking about the gardening, to me, that's very powerful. I've been trying to start a garden in my apartment, actually, and not having a lot of success. But, you know, there are ways that you can learn about what can grow where, under which condition. And I think if we could expand this conversation, it would be very, very powerful. So maybe you could give a contact point or share some of the resources that you spoke about earlier on that people can connect with.
Absolutely. So in order to connect with me right now, our website that we're currently functioning on is hightopsandheels.com. I'm currently in the process of separating that website into three different websites. As I mentioned earlier, we're doing Coins and Kauris, which is our online market. It's currently on hightopsandheels.com, but we're going to have a coinsandkauris.com, and then the Tahuti Ma'at as an organization, and particularly our community work and the programming is something that we're also separating into its own entity, which would be tahutima'at.org. So that's going to be live as of May. But currently right now, my social media is probably the best way to reach me. It's Instagram.com, and it's at Priscilla, Priscilla, Amado. And right now, because I'm taking, you know, I'm really isolating myself a little bit so that I can make sure that, you know, everything that we're building right now is able to expand into its own entity as things are growing. That's where my focus is. But we also have Tahuti Ma'at Academy, which lives at tma.hightopsandheels.com. And High Tops and Heels is HIGHTOPSANDHEELS.com. And what Tahuti Ma'at Academy is basically an online university that we've started. So a lot of the things that I mentioned on the call are going to be they're going to live on there as we develop the courses. So it's going to be an e-course style. But, for example, Start Your Own Garden. That is an e-course that I'm currently working on, which is basically collecting all of the data and how we started our garden here in Brooklyn, and all of the information about that would be on that e-course. We also are going to do the e-course for Think, which is our book club, you know, how to start your own think tank and share our processes and all the different ways that we've organized, because ultimately we don't want people to have to come and join our organization as much as we would like that, because we want to function as a cooperative business so that other people can also take ownership in all of the different economies throughout the different programs that we have. But ultimately, we want other people to be able to start their own. So kind of like make it almost like a chain. So there is a Think Book Club all over the world. There is organic food for the people, gardens popping up all over the world, whatever they may be called, but they're still part of this one network. So ultimately, those courses are going to be on Tehuri Ma'a Academy. So they're online courses that, as long as you can access the internet, you'll be able to access those things. TehuriMa'at.org is going to have a membership feature where there's going to be exclusive membership content on there for people who do want to be members of Tehuri Ma'at as a co-op. And HighTopAndHeels.com is pretty much going to be our communications agency. It's really going to be just an online platform for different creatives, featuring different artists, interviews. Really what we're, our goal is for High Tops and Heels is to have a countercurrent to the mainstream where we're able to, you know, share articles and different creative works, poetry, music from, you know, this alternative source. So that's really what our goal is with HighTopsAndHeels.com. So all of these platforms are going to be available. If you want to support Coins and Kairis, it's currently at HighTopsAndHeels.com/market. And we're pretty much in the phase of having to, like, re-up on everything because we sold out of a lot of things and we went through our winter phase. So we're going to be growing some new things for the market, and we're going to have some new textiles available. We just made a trip to Dakar, Senegal, last November, and we have a lot of textiles that we've purchased there that we want to share and make available as head wraps. So all of that stuff is going to be available.
Well, it's very inspiring, I have to say, all the things that you are doing, as well as your the perspective that you're bringing to the table. And I think that you will be inspiring many people to move on developing their own ideas and then interlocking those activities, hopefully, with what you're doing so that the community grows. But you did give out a lot of information, so let's just give out the one social media thing that people can connect with, and then you can continue to feed them more information.
Yes, so you can connect with me right now at Priscilla.Amadu on Instagram. So that's PRISCILLA.AMADO, and that's my Instagram account, and I pretty much been sharing my journey throughout the years. So there's a full archive there of so much different information, photos from the different workshops, food ideas, all kinds of things. So that's definitely a great resource, and it's a way that you can directly connect with me and keep up with what's going on.
Excellent. And we're close to running out of time. Katrina, did you want to add something or make a comment, you know, as a wrap-up of what we've been discussing?
Well, I'm just, you know, listening and taking it all in. I agree with you, Catherine. This is just, Priscilla, what you're doing, you're just hitting on so many, if not all, of the basic foundational needs to build, you know, healthy societies. And your courage, I'm just so thankful that we were able, you know, that you were able to come on today and share this. I feel like a lot of people will resonate with your message, and you'll be able to expand this beautiful journey that you're on. You really are exhibiting these changes, and that it's really impossible. We have everything we need to create the life we say we want. You know, but each of us, we do have to do the work. And we can be here for each other, and I'm so appreciative that you've taken these steps. Thank you.
Yeah, excellent. And, so we'll have to maintain our connection so that we can
absolutely
let you know when all of the things that you're building launch back up into fully accessibility so that people can access it. And also, I'm really interested in making that cross-fertilization and connection because, from my perspective, of course, you sort of suggested this, but communication and media is also a very important part of the picture so that we can communicate on many different levels, television, radio, internet. There's a lot that we can do to communicate with each other and uplift, heal, and teach each other. So I am really happy of that. And so we're just about out of time. Priscilla, did you want to have a last comment?
Yes, so I do want to say that thank you so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate this divine connection. All thanks and praises to the divine, the ancestors, and everyone who came before us, who laid the foundation and who have inspired this work. And I'd also like to share with anybody listening who is in the Brooklyn area that Saturday, the 21st, right, for Earth Day celebration at Weeksville Heritage Center, we're actually offering two free workshops. The workshop is called Transition Your Kitchen. It's one of our raw workshops that I mentioned before that we usually do at Tahuti Ma'at Garden. And this workshop is a meal planning and prep workshop for anyone who's interested in transitioning their kitchen for supporting a healing and, I guess, vegan lifestyle, for lack of a better word. But any transitioning people out there who are interested in having a supportive workshop that kind of shows different ways that you can meal plan and prep and have your kitchen aid you on your journey so it's not working against you. The workshop is going to be at 2:30 p.m. and there's one at 4 p.m. and that's Saturday the 21st. So if you don't have any plans for Earth Day weekend, I do invite you to be a part of that. And
give out the address again. The address, please.
The address is 158 Buffalo Avenue in Crown Heights, and it is Weeksville Heritage Center. And this is an amazing heritage center for anyone who is not aware of Weeksville and the legacy of Weeksville. It is one of the historic Black Wall Street communities. Over 100 years ago, it was a thriving and bustling community here in Brooklyn, in Crown Heights, and kind of extended into Bed-Stuy and Brownsville. And a lot of people don't know that this community existed here. So if you are interested in general, you don't have to come just for the workshop. The Heritage Center is open, I believe, from Tuesday through Fridays at 10 p.m., at 10 a.m., excuse me. They're open at 10 a.m. and close at 5 p.m.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much for joining me today. And Katrina, did you want to give a contact information?
Right now, I am working on a new website, so that's not quite up yet. And I guess to reach me, best would just be my email, which is KatrinaLynnPriller@gmail.com.
Katrina M?
KatrinaLynnPriller@gmail.com.
Excellent, excellent. And for those who want to make contact with myself, I am. You can reach me at the name of the program, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. If you have questions about guests or have suggestions, you can send me an email at heartofmindradio@gmail.com. Take care, everyone. Have a wonderful, blessed day. And onward and upward, as they say. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Priscilla.